Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Maybe you heard the news today that the child at the center of the Supreme Court case, adoptive couple versus baby girl, has been returned to her adoptive parents as of last night. That case was particularly complicated thanks to the biological father's membership in the Cherokee Nation, which brought the Indian Child Welfare Act into the picture. But it is also another example of how we work out high-stakes personal family issues in the courts. And it's the area where my next guest, Margaret Klaw, works and what she writes about in her new book, Keeping It Civil, The Case of the Prenup and the Porsche, and Other True Accounts from the Files of a Family Lawyer. She's a founding partner of family law firm Berner Klaw & Watson in Philadelphia. Margaret, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
And I guess there aren't usually billions of dollars or long prison sentences at stake in the court cases you work on, but whether or not you get to see your children is pretty high stakes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very high stakes, and it's very emotionally compelling, and that's why I like it so much.
And you started out working with victims of domestic violence here in New York, I gather, and then went to law school. So does that inform your approach to the practice of family law?
I think it does. I mean, I started out working with victims of domestic violence in different contexts, and then that kind of drew me into the rest of family law because the problems of domestic violence are so connected to the economic situation of women and to custody cases, and so it's hard to separate that issue out, and that's how I sort of went into a full family law practice.
And listeners, we can take a call or two for Margaret Klaw in our limited time, not legal advice, especially since she practices in a state, Pennsylvania, that almost none of you live in. But if you've had to involve the law with your family, what do you wish you had known beforehand? 212-433-WNYC. Or if you're a family lawyer yourself, what do you wish your clients understood? 212-433-9692. And you write in the book that you wish more people realized that divorce was an economic transaction.
That's right. I mean, at its essence, that's what it is. And but I would say, in response to your request for people to call in about what they wish they'd known, yeah, that to me, the best thing people can do is try to work out their problems themselves and not involve the courts. I think lawyers can be extremely helpful in that in different ways. And there's really a movement to change the way that divorce is handled. I think the younger generation, the sort of do-it-yourself generation, is much more interested in mediation and collaborative divorce, which is a new way, a new sort of system of negotiating divorces without resorting to the courts. And ultimately, everyone wins in that situation because you're making the decisions yourself and you're not putting it in front of a stranger who doesn't know you or your children. And I don't mean that there aren't situations where you absolutely need a judge to make a decision, because there are, because not everybody can agree on things. And sometimes there are really serious situations that need, you know, the weight of the court. But I do think there is a trend, and I applaud the trend, to sort of think about reconfiguring families and not thinking of them as broken families, but more of just how are we going to collaboratively work this out and come up with a new family structure that everybody can live with.
And you're right that family law is on the cutting edge of our changing cultural norms. One way is in the case of gay marriage, where you've written about the need for gay divorce to keep pace with gay marriage rights. Is that an issue in your Pennsylvania practice?
It's a huge issue because in Pennsylvania, unlike New York, we don't have same-sex marriage. And in fact, we have a state DOMA, a State Defense of Marriage Act. So Pennsylvania not only doesn't allow same-sex marriage, but doesn't recognize a marriage performed in another state that does. And so when a couple marry in New York, let's say, but they really live in Philly. They go to New York for the weekend. They get married. Uh-huh. They have a party. They come back. And the marriage doesn't work out, and they want to get divorced. They can't get divorced in Pennsylvania because our state doesn't recognize their marriage, so they're not going to divorce them. And the problem is that New York, like almost every other state, has a residency requirement to get divorced. So they can't come back to New York and just file for divorce. So they're really stuck. It's an ironic dilemma We really need divorce equality as well as marriage equality.
Julia in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Margaret Claw. Hi, Julia. What's your question?
Hi. My question is more of a statement of my experience. That when I needed an attorney going through a breakup and a divorce with children involved, I really had trouble finding someone. And the first attorney that I ended up with was not. I kind of ended up wishing she didn't take my case because she really wasn't equipped to deal with the emotional pieces that you were referring to, especially when custody issues are involved.
So do you wind up with any advice, Julia, for people for how to screen a lawyer?
I wish I had. It was really through word of mouth, and I asked around. By the time I ended up with a lawyer who really knew what she was doing and was very, very helpful to me, a year and a half had gone by where other parts of the status quo between me and my ex-partner were set up that by that time it wasn't, we really couldn't do anything to change the custody situation.
Right, I understand. So, Margaret Claw, this must be a horrible thing for people who are going through divorce, which, you know, most people only go through once, so you're in the biggest crisis of your life, and suddenly you have to hire a lawyer with no idea what the criteria are for a good lawyer.
I think it is really hard, and one of the reasons that at my firm we do a really thorough initial meeting with a client, like it usually lasts 2 hours, and sometimes people are tempted to go visit with a lawyer who does a free consultation, which usually means it's like 20 minutes, sort of a meet and greet. I don't think that's you're doing yourself a service, if I have to give any advice. I think you really want to get to know a lawyer and research them and talk to them and really make sure that you're compatible with them, because it is a close working relationship you're setting up. It's like choosing a doctor or a therapist. And so it helps us to meet for a long time with a client and really get to understand their case as well. So,
what do you charge for that initial consultation?
We charge, you have different rates for partners and associates, but I charge $400, and it's a flat fee, and it usually lasts 2 hours. So it's actually less than an hour, like it would be on an hourly, and I think that's what a lot of lawyers do. But I just wanted to say to Julia's situation that this is so common, and it's so difficult, because you can, if you make a wrong move, you can get into a situation that's hard to undo. So it is a really important choice when you're figuring out who you want to have represent you.
Andrew in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, I'm a single father. I have a shared custody with my daughter. My experience in family court, like many fathers, is one in which the perception seems to be there for the father is you're guilty until proven innocent. It seems to be an institutional bias to some extent in favor of the mother.
And let me get our guest reaction to that. And Margaret, I will say that anytime we do a topic that's remotely related to this, we get a call like that, where men feel that by now, maybe once upon a time it was completely the opposite, but by now the man in the breakup of a heterosexual marriage where there's a child involved is considered guilty until proven innocent.
You know, this is a really difficult question for me to address, because I know that a lot of men feel that way, and I have a lot of male clients who feel that way, and I have just as many women clients who feel that the system is so skewed against them, the child support laws are so inadequate, the alimony laws are so inadequate. And I think there has been a big change in custody, and maybe, Andrew, your individual situation, you didn't have this experience, but from what I've seen from practicing family law for like 25 years now, is that there used to be, I do think there was a bias with very young children in favor of the mother. And I feel like, at least where the courts I practice, that is just not the case anymore. And shared custody has become like the norm and the expectation.
And by the same token, from women's point of view, why can't the courts do a better job getting men to pay their child support?
And that's a huge issue. And so I think the takeaway is that family courts it's a very difficult place to be, and you can have a bad outcome. And I'm not sure that the issue is the laws. I mean, the laws are all gender neutral. I'm not sure that it's an issue of the policy being bad, but it's more sort of what happens in your individual experience.
Can you tell us in our last 30 seconds or so the story from the title of your book, The Prenup and the Porsche?
Well, that story is about a prenuptial agreement where a young woman signed away all her economic rights on the eve of a marriage to a then young doctor who she'd put through medical school, who then went on to become a very famous surgeon. And years later, when they divorced, he owned this multimillion-dollar classic car collection, which and she got her prenup limited her to $25,000. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court upheld the prenup.
The Porsche won.
Margaret
Claw, family lawyer, author now of Keeping It Civil, the case of the prenup and the Porsche and other true accounts from the files of a family lawyer. Here's hoping that none of our listeners ever need to see you professionally. But thanks for a very interesting
conversation. Thanks so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.